Paul was very strong when he called the Corinthian church to sexual wholeness and purity. It's just as important now. Let's talk about it today in the Word. Good morning and welcome back to Today in the Word. Hi, I'm Glenn Schaefer. Thank you for joining us as we walk through 1 Corinthians. Today we're in chapter 6, and we're going to wrap up this chapter in verses 12 through 20, dealing with a hot topic on sexual wholeness and sexual purity. It's interesting that Paul made such a strong call for such in the church among the Corinthians because they lived in a culture where it was so widely accepted. They did not know. In fact, he's addressing some things like, do you not know? Do you not know? Apparently, many of them did not, because their mindset was in a world and a culture that accepted sexuality a whole lot like our present culture did. There would be over 1,000 prostitutes that you could go and worship a pagan god by joining in with that prostitution. It was accepted. All kinds of sexual immorality and fornication would be accepted in their culture. So now here comes Paul in this crisis culture trying to teach them about having their own wife and keeping themselves pure. So let's get right into this and read it. He says here in verse 12, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Now, Paul would have taught, as he did earlier, that the things that are told us in the law concerning ceremonies and concerning those things of purification, that he's not under the law of that. Now, when Christ came, the law passed through the cross. Jesus fulfilled the law. And all the moral law remain in effect. But the ceremonial aspects, Christ fulfilled for us. So when we accept Christ, we are made righteous in Him. So it would have been easy for them to assume, then there's no problem with any kind of transgression. Now he begins here in verse 13. Foods for the stomach and the stomach for foods, but God will destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God raised up the Lord and will also raise us up by His power. Now why does Paul make that statement? It assumes that the Christians were reasoning among themselves that says, okay, we have a right to eat. We don't have to go by the ceremonial aspects, and we have natural appetites. God would not have given us these appetites. For example, our stomach gets hungry and so we eat. So he said, foods for the stomach and the stomach for foods. But God's going to destroy both of those. This body will perish. It will die. And they were using that analogy or that reasoning that I hear in our present culture. Well, God's given me this desire. God's given me this sexual, strong sexual drive. Therefore, He expects me to carry it out. Just like He's given me an appetite for food. Well, Paul separates those two appetites. He says the stomach and the body will both be destroyed. But he says when it comes to sexual immorality, now the body is not for sexual immorality. Yes, you have sexual desires and sexual drives, but you're going to see in this that we are to submit those things constantly to the Lord. In fact, that's part of what happens in us. I think for most men, and I don't know about women, I'm a man, but for most men, they do not know their true sexual drive until they get free from a stronghold of sexual lust or maybe even a level of sexual addiction. There are several levels of sexual addiction. The first level is what someone would do to satisfy themselves in secret and in private. A second level of sexual addiction is when they would have risk actions, voyeurism, trying to get out in public. They would have risk. And a third level is when they would actually get involved with someone else. And that, like rape and prostitution, those are strong areas of sexual addictions. So the first level, I don't know where you are or what you've walked through, but I know by God's own hand of deliverance in my life that you don't even know your own, I don't believe you know your own sexual drive until you're free from a stronghold. So if a man's grown up with a strong sexual stronghold, he assumes that's his sexual drive. It's not wholesome. And this is what Paul says, I won't be under the power of anything. And he's saying sexual immorality is not a part and cannot be compared to the appetites of the stomach. Well, even in the appetites of the stomach, all things are to be done and submitted unto the Lord. So is a sexual drive within the confines of marriage of a man and a woman, according to the scriptures. But he's just simply saying here, the body is not for sexual immorality, but it's for the Lord. Your body is for the Lord and the Lord for the body. And God will raise up, as God raised up the Lord, he's going to also raise us up. So these bodies then belong to Christ. So he's making that distinction. Don't use the natural appetites as an excuse to have sexual immorality. Then he says in verse 15, do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? Certainly not. Now let me pause there. Apparently, they were doing that. Why? Because it was accepted within pagan worship as these individuals were coming out of paganism into Christianity. They had to be retaught. And it wasn't unusual for someone to go down to the temple and engage in some kind of sexual activity, even as a religious experience, as unto this false god. Now, that's not only terrible in idolatry and against God himself, but here Paul is saying, don't you know that now your bodies are with Christ and you're joined with them? And he says, or do you not know that he who is joined to a harlot is one body with her? For the two, he says, shall become one flesh, but he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Now, I don't know if they knew that. He's saying that even though you may not be married to someone, every time you have casual sex or you have a sexual relationship with someone, and here he mentions a harlot, that you leave a part of yourself with that person because you become one flesh. Now, the principle of one flesh in marriage is far beyond sex, but it certainly includes sex. But here he says the sexual union with someone outside of marriage, you have joined yourself. And when you have multiple sexual partners, you're actually leaving a part of yourself behind. I believe that's one of the reasons that personalities get so divided and wounds are so deep and disjointedness in their mind and in their heart because they've had these multiple relationships. This is where Christ has to come back and heal every one of those. Even when you come to Christ, you're made a new creation in Christ, but your mind, your wounds, those things within your heart that are being medicated by sexual gratification, it's not just the sexual gratification, it's those areas that Christ wants to fulfill. He wants to be that in you. That's why he says, do you not know that you're joined with the Lord in one spirit with him? So if I go join myself with someone outside of the marriage union of my wife, I'm actually taking the Lord with me. And I'm not only leaving a portion of myself behind, but I'm also denying the very oneness that I have in Christ. And he says, your bodies are members of Christ. They don't belong to you. Therefore, he says, we have been joined with the Lord. So he uses the word sexual immorality. That word is porneia. And I think it's important for us to know that because that means all sexual uncleanness. It's not just adultery. It's not just going and being with a harlot. It's all sexual uncleanness. And that can get into a lot of areas that we need to be aware of, that when we join ourselves to sexual impurity, we who are already joined with the Lord in one spirit are blending ourselves with what is not wholesome or right, and therefore there's consequences. Now, Paul makes a statement here, I think, that's very interesting that we need to be aware of, that sexual sin has effect upon your physical body that no other sin does. There are a lot and effects emotionally upon people today in our present culture because of the sexualization that has taken place through the phones and internet and fantasies and thoughts in every area of movies and media of every kind. It's just overwhelming. You have to really guard your heart. I know on my own devices, I have covenant eyes that emails my wife every site that I visit because I want accountability. I realize I live in a world. There's some social media platforms I don't want to have on my phone because the things that come up immediately when you tune into them. That's why he says, flee sexual immorality. He makes a statement here in verse 18. He says, flee sexual immorality. Why does he say flee it? Because we cannot handle it. The moment I think I can handle it, I can feel my flesh being drawn. I can feel my soul being drawn. That's when I'm to flee. To flee sexual immorality, every sin that a man does is outside of the body. But he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. Now, there's consequences, not only sexual diseases, but there is great consequences in the soul and in the body of a person who is bound up in a sexual addiction or sexual lust or sexual stronghold. That's why we need healing and we need, that's why we need sessions and counseling and places where people can be free in a safe environment to get whole. Because when you come out of the world, you're brand new in Christ. Yes, He gives you and enlightens your mind, but those things that you have meditated upon, those pictures that you have seen, and those fantasies that you've engaged in have to be healed in the soul. The mind has to be renewed. We even have to have brothers that we can confess our sin or our faults one to another that we might be healed. Healing comes from recognizing that we're all in this thing together and we need help. Verse 19 and 20 says, or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? Who is in you? Your body is that temple and He's in you. Lord, give us a realization of that, in whom you have from God, and you are not your own. Your body's not your own. You can't do with your body what you want to do. If you're married, it belongs to God and your wife and nothing else. Same way if you're a wife, it belongs to God and your husband and nothing else. For you were bought at a price. That price is the blood of Jesus. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Our body and our spirit is to give Him glory. Everything about us is to honor Him. It's easy for us. It's maybe a struggle and a hard case, but it's very simple for us to know how to present our bodies and present our spirit. Is, does it glorify God? Is it honoring God? Can it be shouted from the housetops? And if it's not, it's not glorifying God. And so the call here from Paul is that we would walk in a sexual wholeness and purity, knowing that our bodies belong to Him. I love the scriptures holding our feet to the fire. Thank you for joining me today in the Word.